Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We wish to welcome our new affiliate this morning, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that has been added to the mix at both Mark Dankos, America, and at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've also been talking this morning in the first hour of the show about Iran, and specifically Pat Buchanan's article at antiwar.com today entitled, Is Bombing Iran Bush's Call? This is maybe a good lead-in to introduce our guest this morning, who is Shireen Nashat, N-E-S-H-A-T, Shireen Nashat of an organization called Sarbazan, S-A-R-B-A-Z-A-N, Sarbazan in Los Angeles, California. Shireen Nashat is a Persian-American residing in Los Angeles, California. She is the daughter of the late Major General Ali Nashat, who was the last commander of the Shah of Iran's Imperial Guard in Tehran at the time of the Islamic Revolution in that country in 1978 and 79. And Sarbazan is an organization that is dedicated to the memory of the so-called unsung heroes of the Imperial Iranian Armed Forces who lost their lives at the time of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, this is a story that is largely unreported in the American media, something that most of the American public is not aware of. But with all of the allegations that we have seen from time to time in books like Dilip Hero's The Iranian Labyrinth, talking about corruption in the Imperial Iranian Armed Forces and in the Shah's government in years gone by, it has largely gone unnoticed that there are many, many people who are connected with that regime, who lost everything that they had in the process of what happened in that country 28 years ago, and who have since been in Europe, in the United States, and elsewhere, living under the most difficult of circumstances, and having done so in situations where they were the unreported story. The people who were not corrupt, the people who were trying to do their jobs, the people who now worldwide find themselves in circumstances that have adversely affected their own lives, as well as the lives of extended family members and friends. So if you're not familiar with Shireen Nashat and Sarbazan, I would urge you to do a Google search on her and a Google search on Sarbazan today, wherever you're listening to this program, to learn an entirely new story and an entirely new dimension to our larger understanding as Americans of Iran, not simply what happened 28 years ago, but the larger history of Iran as it relates to a 2,500-year-old tradition of monarchy in that country, and to also listen to the perspective that these Iranian expatriates have for us in regard to what's happening today with American-Iranian relations and the whole threat of a possibility of an expansion of this conflict into what could well result in a third world war. Shireen Nashat, I might add, is a very close friend of mine, has been for a very long period of time. And again, I think what she brings to the table in regard to American-Iranian relations and in regard to the history of the Persian monarchy is something that has expanded my own understanding of her country as one who is not an Iranian. Shireen, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Mark. Thank you very much. Very well.
Yes, you know, I've been going with the listeners this morning to Pat Buchanan's piece at antiwar.com talking about whether or not getting a war started with Iran is truly in this country the interest, the United States of America's national interest, and where the Congress of the United States is constitutionally, where it should be constitutionally, in regard to making that call for the American people. Do you think there's going to be a war with between the United States and Iran? And if that happens, what do you think the results are going to be?
Well, Mark, no doubt that we are against the terrorist regime in Iran. But we don't like to be any war between United States and Iran.
Shireen, why don't we stop right there because we're going to a commercial break. That's what that background music is. We'll have a longer period of time to discuss your opening points on this when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Shireen Nashat and Sarbazan.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon. That is an organization in the greater Los Angeles, California area that is dedicated to the memory of the unsung heroes of the Imperial Iranian Armed Forces of a generation ago under Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. It's quite a story, let me tell you. And Shireen Nashat's own individual story is something that I think will one day be published in book form. And I suspect once the book comes out that based upon what I know of this story, it may eventually wind its way through to becoming a major motion picture as well. That is not an overstatement on my part. I think there are a lot of things about her that will eventually emerge in regard to the publication of her life story that will be absolutely spellbinding as well as absolutely gripping in terms of the tragedy of what happened to her and what happened to her family at the time of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. And the way in which that story of the Nashat family has been repeated in other instances in regard to other Iranian expatriates that we never hear about, who are living in exile in various parts of the world, many times in very difficult, very tragic circumstances, totally out of the limelight, totally forgotten by most people of all political persuasions. It's something that will be a story that we will be reacquainting ourselves with in the days ahead, I'm sure, as we get closer and closer to a circumstance with Iran that looks increasingly tragic. Shireen, you were saying at the beginning of this interview that, of course, your organization opposes the current Islamic Republic in Iran regime, at the same time that you've been very clear about the fact that attacking Iran on the part of the United States is the wrong move. Go ahead with that.
Yes, I think this is not right move for both countries because it is against U.S. national interests and it is the interest of Islamic Republic regime, which is in Iran. And, you know, Mark, our troops here from United States, they went through a lot of different and difficult things. First was Afghanistan, second was Iraq. But I am thinking if from the first place they knew that they had to go to Iran and remove this regime, we never had this problem right now in Middle East country and probably all over the world. We would love to, the Iranian people love to remove this regime as soon as possible because they brought not only problem for Iran, but for all over the world, for all countries. And I don't think war is resolving anything. Then again, we have to send a lot of troops to Iran and the poor people of Iran, which they are innocent. And after 20 years, they have inside of the country a lot of problem with this terrorist regime and outside, again, a war. No, I don't think so. The America or, I don't know, the people, the America have to try to make the people inside and outside the Iranians strong and let the Iranians stay in front of this terrorist regime. Right now, as you know, this terrorist regime tries to keep the people. There are a lot of addiction in Iran right now, a lot of hunger in Iran. How they can move and their hands are empty and there is no help. And as you see, every day they are executing, they are hanging a lot of young people. And the people in this point, they are afraid to move and because their hands are empty. I think the best way for the United States this time is to help the people and try to put the people in front of the government and let them solve the problem. Do not send any troops and do not have any war. I don't think this is right. And it's not right for United States and it's not right for the Iran.
But, well, you know, in this country, in the United States, when I talk to people about this issue of Iran and the current regime there, there is a perception among many people in this country who follow this story that in regard to the forces that, speaking of now of the American forces, political forces that would like to see a regime change in Iran, it's been noted that quite a number of these people have connections to Israeli-oriented neoconservatives in the United States and to groups like the American Enterprise Institute, which arguably represents a very strong pro-Israel point of view and the point of view of a lot of people in the American and multinational petroleum industries, who many people believe would simply like a regime change in Iran that would suit the interests of the oil of the Western oil conglomerates and also the government of Israel. Do you think, however, that there is a much wider movement among the Iranian people, both in Iran as well as around the world, to potentially affect a regime change in Iran independent of those American and British and Israeli interests?
Well, Mark, do you know, right now, because Iran is a very rich country, I mean, always was, I think nobody is thinking about that those poor people. They are thinking about their own countries, which is right, even if Iran want to do something, they have to think about their own country first. But that is not right. That is not right. You know, that because of the oil, all over the world, they are closing their eyes because they get the oil from Iran or other things from Iran. Close their eyes and let the people be in this kind of situation. We have terrible situation here in Iran. Do you know, I know Israel, I know all over the countries, all over the world, the countries, they are looking to get something from Iran for themselves as cheap as they, that they can. But that's not fair to the people. And I don't know why, and to be honest with you, we have a word, or we have an organization by the human right, or I forgot the word, I'm sorry, you know, that they are looking for helping the people all over, but I don't know for what reason the word United Nations, I'm so sorry about that, why the United Nations, they are not looking to anything, what is going on in that country and help that those people. For 28 years, they are closing their eyes. I don't know how we have to always yell and yell and yell. And as you know, we had a lot of demonstrations all over the world, especially in the United States, but asking for help. But I don't know for what reason they are closing their eyes and not helping the people against this regime.
Well, yes, and you know, it's interesting.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's interesting to me to you know, to look at some of the things that have put out, that have been put out on this subject by these organizations like Amnesty International and the Human Rights Watch and at least five or six other organizations of this type in the Western world that have chronicled a number of serious things that have been going on in Iran in the last 28 years. And these things have involved, of course, the imprisonment and in some cases the execution of political dissidents. You have a situation where Iran is judged to be one of the most dangerous places in the world for an independent journalist to work in. There, of course, are the economic questions in regard to what is really going on in that country and whether or not you, in fact, have what a number of people have alleged, and that is that this this system of these mullahs and the plutocracy that they allegedly have has been accused from time to time of you know, skimming lots of money away from the Iranian people and into the coffers of some of the highest echelons of the Islamic mullah's political structure there. Do you what is your opinion of this? Do you believe Iran to be the police state that some of these Western human rights organizations say that it is? And if it is, what particular hope do you have that there can be a change in course in that country and a regime change in that country that involves the Iranian people themselves and does not involve the United States and Britain and Israel and other potential foreign players in this?
Well, Mark, terrorist governments support terrorist groups around the world. And yes. I think this is it, because everybody knows what's going on in Iran. Everybody knows, even a simple, non-political person. But, you know, we the world has to support Iran against this terrorist regime in Iran. And we know the center of the terrorists is in Iran. We know the head of the terrorists is in Iran. And look what they have done, this terrorist regime, in 9/11 to us. Look what they are doing right now in Iraq. They are helping them. And day by day, they are getting stronger because the war doesn't stop them.
Do
you know, I think we have to do something, as Mr. Bush was always promising and promising to do something to this regime or remove this regime or help out Iran to get out of this regime. But see, we are just sitting here and looking for it. We are just sitting and writing a lot of letters to White House, a lot of things, but nobody is listening to us.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today from 8 a.m. Central Standard Time to 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time is Shireen Nashat of Sarbazan. That's spelled S-A-R-B-A-Z-A-N. This is an organization in the greater Los Angeles area dedicated to the memory of the unsung heroes of the Imperial Iranian Armed Forces of the days of the regime of Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi in Iran. And we've been talking with Shireen a little bit this morning about this whole issue of what's going on in that country and what some of the options may be for the future in regard to American-Iranian relations. Shireen, there are a number of people, I happen to be one of them, who oppose the idea that's being promoted by certain interests in this country that the United States should preemptively attack Iran. I have a lot of concerns about this, not simply in terms of the nation of Iran and not killing potentially thousands of innocent people, I have concerns about this in terms of the Constitution of the United States, which returns to what Pat Buchanan was talking about today at antiwar.com, where President Bush may well decide on the basis of some things he has already done in relation to Iran to attempt this military operation without the constitutional prerogative of the American Congress. That certainly concerns me as an American citizen that that might be going on. But then thirdly, looking at this more practically in terms of your concern and the concern of other Iranian expatriates about the present regime in Tehran, my feeling, based upon different things that Pat Buchanan and Paul Craig Roberts and others have observed, is that an American attack on Iran would in fact strengthen the present regime in Tehran, not weaken it. What's your feeling about that?
Yes, Mark. And by the way, absolutely, there is a movement in Iran. And as you know, I was always mostly during past 28 years, I am working with the soldiers, with the officers during the time that were my father's officers. And we are a well-known organization. Right now, as you know, and as I have invited you, I have one of my father's friends here in the United States that I have invited him on behalf of my organization. He is Colonel Aguilipour, which I am going to introduce him to Iranian people and United States in on February 25th. I have a press conference for him, and up to now he has had a lot of interviews, and there are a lot of army people that they are in touch with us inside of the Iran, which over here the Iranian government wanted war. Wants war, you know, and we are just, we love the United States to help us, to help this army people and try, let them stay in front of this government. The people of Iran staying with the help of the United States, stay in front of this government. Because this terrorist regime, they want war.
And yes, it seems to me that this is a part of a larger pattern that in the case of the present regime in Tehran, again, keeping in mind all of the reports that have come out in the last 28 years on various things going on in that country, Amnesty International has talked about this, the Human Rights Watch people, I'm trying to remember the name of the very well-known journalistic organization. I think it's Reporters Without Borders, if I'm remembering this correctly, all of whom have indicated that there are serious issues in Iran related to human rights and the suppression of dissidents and all kinds of things that relate to actions being sanctioned by the present regime in Tehran against people that are largely unlawful. But in the context of that kind of a regime, as is the case in so many situations around the world, some people would even argue this in the case of the present Bush administration, that with all of the problems that they're having politically with this difficult situation in Iraq and Afghanistan and the Republicans lost control of the House of Representatives and the Senate in the first Tuesday in November, Bush is way down in the polls. There are alarming unpopularity numbers that are accruing for him across a very wide spectrum of American political thought in this country. Some people would say that the Bush administration and the present regime in Iran maybe both have a vested interest in having a war because it would shore up their own flagging support with their own two separate political constituencies, both in that country as well as in the United States. When we get back, I want to ask you what you think of that theory. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon, not simply to talk about this whole issue of war and political popularity, but I wanted to talk a little bit about her own family circumstance and the circumstance of some of these former Iranian military people. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We welcome our new affiliate today, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station there that will be carrying this show and carrying the Republic Broadcasting Network throughout the American South in the days ahead. We plan on other affiliate acquisitions in coming weeks and months, and we're expanding our internet streaming and our international shortwave outreach. And again, in the context of everything that's going on with Iran and the United States and the world in general, this is going to be very key to keep the Republic Broadcasting Network in the forefront of its coverage of things that alternative media does not want to discuss. Shireen, before the break, I was talking a little bit about the fact that there are those who believe that both the the Bush administration and the Ahmadinejad regime in Iran may both have a vested political interest in a war in order to shore up flagging support with domestic political constituencies. But I also wanted to talk about a couple of other things that to relate directly to your father and who he was and what it meant in your family in the final days of the Pahlavi regime. There is an article I'm going to point listeners to this broadcast. It's entitled The Final 37 Days of the Pahlavi Regime in Iran. The original source of that story is a very fine publication online called The Iranian, which you can find at www.iranian.com. The author of that story, which was published on July 4th, 2005, was Cyrus Kadivar, K-A-D-I-V-A-R. Liberty Post then ran this story as with an original link to the Iranian Post, talking about the whole issue of the final 37 days of the Pahlavi regime in Iran. Actually, Cyrus Kadivar's chronicling of this story goes back to March of 2003 in his post for the Iranian. And as I look through the names that come up in these final 37 days in the history of the Pahlavi regime, two names leap out at me: Prime Minister Amir Abbas Hoveyda, no longer living, his brother Feridun Hoveyda, who was a friend of mine, who at one time was the Shah's ambassador to the United Nations, passed away recently. The other name that comes up in this article very prominently is your father, General Ali Nashat, the commander of the Shah's Imperial Guard. Kadivar notes that Prime Minister Hoveyda and General Ali Nashat were two of the fallen heroes of the nation in Iran. In a story also marked by treason, betrayal, and human evil on a staggering scale. In terms of what you can discuss on the air, acquaint us with your father, who he was, what his background was, and what those last 37 days of that regime were like in the life of your family.
Well, Mark, my father was commander of Imperial Guard of the Shah, and he was a real soldier. And he stood for his country, for his goals, for his king and the royal family till the end of his life. I can talk about him as my father. He was a great father. And, whatever a husband or children or a wife needs from a husband is a great man. He was a great father. I don't know what to talk about him, but I know he was a great soldier too. The last 37 of the Shah during the Shah days was very difficult for us. First of all, when the airport were closed and before Khomeini goes to the country, my mother and I, we went to France because my brother was studying there, and everywhere was closed. We couldn't send him any money, we couldn't send any help. We had to go there. Then during the time that we were in France, we heard my father was in jail. And he was executed in April 10th, 1979. When we returned back to Iran, we didn't have anything. Even we didn't have a piece of bread to eat. I remember I had the responsibility during that time of my mother and my aunt, which she was living with us 20 years before revolution. And my youngest brother. And the life was really hard because in this situation, in the revolution, everybody turns their back to you. Even your closest people, your closest relatives and family. We didn't have any place to stay. I was not allowed to work in my own country. We didn't have a piece of bread to eat, and it was really hard. And but I never stopped my political work against this regime. Anyhow, we ran away from the country. It was really hard, and we went to Germany for a while. And I didn't know any German language. The life was very hard, you know, when you don't know any language, it's hard to find a job. And with my past, in what kind of family I was living, it was really hard, especially for my mom. Well, I don't know really what you want to know. We, for my father, we were hearing that all the royal family, as I mentioned to Cyrus Kadiva, and he has in his the article that he was writing, he wrote about my father and I. They left the country, but they left the officers, the soldiers over there, without telling them that they are not coming back. Probably it was better if they noticed that they are not coming back to the country again. Well, anyhow, they were soldiers and they stood for their country, but that was not the answer. During that time, there was no war, nothing.
You know, some years ago, I was in the home of the late Feridun Hoveyda, who, of course, was the brother to Prime Minister Amir Abbas Hoveyda. And he and I were talking in the privacy of his home outside of Washington, D.C., about the personal pain that Feridun Hoveyda and his family went through when Feridun's brother, Prime Minister Amir Abbas Hoveyda, was executed in the same month and year that your father was killed. And I remember Feridun Hoveyda saying to me that the one most powerful lingering memory that he had of his brother, and he emphasized that he believed the same thing to be true of your father, General Ali Neshat, is that in the case of Prime Minister Hoveyda and General Neshat, both of these men had every opportunity to leave Iran and to go into exile, potentially to go into hiding, to using the American-English colloquial expression, to get out of Dodge City while there was still time to do it. But Prime Minister Amir Abbas Hoveyda stayed in Iran under the most adverse of circumstances when he could have left. Many, many people in the Persian community still talk about your father, General Ali Neshat, and the fact that he made the same decision that Prime Minister Hoveyda made. A couple of questions in this regard. Why do you think your father and Mr. Hoveyda made the decision to stay? And in terms of the fact that they both lost their lives, it would certainly seem to me that their memory in the lives of millions of Iranians remains powerful because they did not cut and run. They stayed and attempted to do their duty. Is that your feeling?
Yes, of course. Of course, they were feeling that's their duty to stay in the country. But allow me to talk about my father as a soldier.
Yes.
My father was a real soldier. A real soldier always sticks to the promises and the swearing that he has and the responsibility that he has about his country and his people. And by the way, a soldier is a soldier. They don't know if they leave army, they don't know how they have to leave. My father was one of those people. You know, any work has respect, any jobs has respect, but my father was saying, if I run away from the country, who is going to take care of the country and these people? And by the way, what should I do out of Iran, out of the country? I don't know any other jobs. I am a soldier, and if I go out, there are only a few jobs for me, which I have to be a taxi driver or I have to be a cleaner, which these jobs has respect.
Yes.
Not these are very nice jobs. It's very respectful job, but for somebody who is in army, who is a soldier, it's different. I have been doing cleaning, but and earning money during the revolution. But for soldiers are different. They trained for something else. And yes, he couldn't do anything, and he was sworn to the regime, to the royal family and the country. Do you know why he should run away from the country? And he knows one day he's losing his life for his goals.
Yes, and as we talk about this, and of course you're involved in an organization in Los Angeles that is dedicated to your father's memory and to the memory of the other people who did do their duty for the Imperial Iranian Armed Forces. In regard to your father's death and what it meant to the last however many years of your mother's life and what it meant for your life and your brother's life and your son's life, what are the kinds of things that Americans need to be aware of in regard to not only what happened to your family, but in regard to some of these other Iranian military expatriates and their families who did their duty at that time as they saw it, and who either lost their lives or their families were separated and destroyed and so forth. Give us an idea as to the lives that are being led by many of your compatriots in Los Angeles, California, and in Europe and elsewhere, so that the average American listener can grasp the pain and the tragedy of this.
Yes, Mark. They are, many of them are taxi drivers or working as lots of very, very simple jobs, you know, and the life is really hard for them. It's really hard. For example, you know how I was working and during my mom was alive. And because the family, the wife, they were always a housewife back home. And they never had any experience to work outside, only some of them, very few of them. And for the soldiers or the officers, they are out of the country. Again, it's the same. You know, they really, well, we have some that they have lots of money or they have businesses, but we have at least 80%, 85% of these people, they are living hardly in out of the countries, in Europe, America, just they run away from the country without having anything. But on the other side, there are some people that they had enough money, they brought enough money even from this officers, but 80, 85%, 90%, they are not living well and, you know, comfortable.
Well,
we have a lot of difficulties. We have a lot of difficulties.
This, I think, is an important point because in Dilip Hero's book, The Iranian Labyrinth, which has come out in the last couple of years, he was on this show some days ago promoting a new book entitled Blood of the Earth. But in regard to the book that he wrote on Iran, in his chapter on the Pahlavi regime and the Pahlavi years, there's a statement in that chapter at one point that talks about, I don't remember the number of Iranian military officers that Hero claims in this chapter managed to not only leave the country but to depart Iran with millions of dollars. I don't remember what the figure is. But let's assume that group of people and what that represents in terms of treason and betrayal marks a very small percentage of the total people who were involved in the Imperial Iranian Armed Forces at that time. It seems to me that what you're saying is that at least 85% of the Iranian expatriates in Europe and the United States that had anything to do with the Shah's military infrastructure are people that were not a part of that corruption, people who did not leave Iran with any significant money, if they had anything at all, and who largely in the 28 years since then have lived largely difficult, tragic lives in menial service economy jobs. In many cases, families have been separated. There's been a lot of loneliness and isolation as there is tremendous adjustment to living in Western countries and Western culture. It seems to me that what you're saying is that in your experience, just in Los Angeles alone, that there are dozens, potentially hundreds of people like this, and the American public does not hear about it.
Exactly, Mark, exactly. I really love to, if there was an opportunity, you know, I wanted to show these officers, even and the ones that in Los Angeles, the ones that I'm in touch with them, you should go and see how they are living, how hard is life for them. It is really hard, Mark, for us and these officers, you know, to pay rent, to keep their family together for a piece of bread. These are all lies that most of them ran away with lots of money. No, that's not true. I'm in touch with these officers.
Yes.
You can see even they don't have enough money to buy a pair of shoes for their children.
Yes, and you know, you and I talked very recently about the fact that on C-SPAN not too long ago, there was a report on there on a Sunday evening. I did not see the show, but it quoted, I believe, Henry Kissinger, maybe David Rockefeller, some of the other usual suspects in the American political establishment as making very serious allegations about the Shah's military at that time. And I wanted to give you a further opportunity to respond to those charges that were made on C-SPAN. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Shireen Neshat of Sarbazon. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson Music Shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today through 9:30 this morning, Central Standard Time, is Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon. And if you do a search on Shireen Nashat and Sarbazon, S-A-R-B-A-Z-A-N, through Google, you'll come to all kinds of interesting articles, including Shireen's Sarbazon website. I've mentioned to listeners that they need to take a look at Cyrus Kadivar's article, The Final 37 Days of the Pahlavi Regime in Iran. That was originally posted at Iranian.com. That was in, I believe, March of 2000, and March of 2003 that article was posted. It was then published in July of 2005, republished with a link to the original by LibertyPost.com. There's another article I will point people to as well that we probably won't discuss in great detail today, but it is really instructive, and that is Shireen Nashat's article on the overthrow of the Shah of Iran and the Bilderberg Group conspiracy. Shireen talks a great deal in that article about William Bowles, who has an article in today's article in Countercurrents, which documents the role of British Petroleum, George Balls, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Bernard Lewis, and the Bilderberg Group in overthrowing the Shah of Iran. That, again, is William Bowles' article on that subject in Countercurrents. And Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon has commented on William Bowles' article about the role of the Bilderberg Group in overthrowing the Shah back in 1979. Both of those articles, The Final 37 Days of the Pahlavi Regime in Iran and The Overthrow of the Shah of Iran and the Bilderberg Group Conspiracy, will come up if you search Shireen Nashat plus Sarbazon through your Google search engine or whatever search engine you use. Shireen, I wanted to warn you that in the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to have a series of frequent commercial interruptions, and then there will probably be about 25 minutes, the last 25 minutes of your involvement on today's show for some extended conversation. But suffice it to say that I think it's important that whether we're talking about Dilip Hero's book, The Iranian Labyrinth, and its chapter on the Pahlavis, or this recent coverage on a Sunday night by C-SPAN alleging all of this massive wrongdoing on the part of the Imperial Iranian Armed Forces of the Shah, that while there was some very undeniable corruption, I think the point you continue to hammer home today is that that represents a very small percentage of the officers and enlisted men who were loyal to the Pahlavi regime, and that those people who made it to the United States or to Europe who were not on the take, were not treasonous, were not crooked, constitute the vast majority of the total, and their lives and the totally tragic character of their lives, once again, is never discussed in the Western press.
Exactly, Mark. As I said, the officers around the Shah, they were all not that kind of people. They are living very, very simple and low income in everywhere in the world. Some of them couldn't get out of the country for some reason. They have a bad life inside of the Iran. And the rest who are out of the country, at least I think 85-90% are living very, very poorly. They were honest, and they were real soldiers.
We will be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon. Stay tuned.